All right, Rabosai, back to Bava Basra HaShutfin. We are just going to spend a little time now to chazer a little bit of what we did over the time we had before the break for Yom Kippur, the Mishnah, some of the Inyanim that we discussed, the Rashi, the Tosfos. We're not going to be able to go through all 36 questions, but we'll try to use that as a guide. Hopefully everybody had a chance to go through out of them, but we'll try to just discuss and yanim through the prism of the questions to help us focus. In Yetz Hashem, next year, we'll begin on the Gemara, and of course, the yanim that we've seen already, we'll get to see it even more in depth. Okay, we have a Mishnah that states the words, Hashutfin Shevatzu Lassus Mechitza Bechatzer, Bodin Mefakosa Be'emtza, and there's a chiyuv for Shutfin, who now are obviously no longer Shutfin, to build a kosel that will obviously serve to prevent their hezek ria that could occur from one to the other. And the question is, what is the basis for this chiyuv, and how is that affected by the language of the Mishnah in terms of its interpretation? This is, of course, what comes up in the beginning of the Gemara. The Meiri makes it clear right away. So this is the first question on your sheets, the two ways to understand the Mishnah, and how does this help us figure out the case and the basis for this halacha? Okay, so let's go over the basics. We have a machlokes, whether hezek ria shmei hezek or lo shmei hezek, and that will impact on whether once we have shutfin that are dissolving their partnership in the chatzar that's jointly shared, can one be tovea the other to build together, to contribute the two of them to build a wall based on hezek ria? If hezek ria shmei hezek, then it's clear that once the shutfis is dissolved, there's a machayev right now for the two of them to contribute to build together a kosel to prevent hezek ri'iyah. So if that's the pshat, then the Mishnah must mean that what they agreed to do is agree to divide the chatzar to dissolve the partnership. Why do you need them to agree to do that? Because as the Mishnahs tell us at the end of the parak, you need a certain minimum size in order that one shutif can force the other to dissolve the shutfis. If it doesn't make that shear, if it's less than the shear, then you need the mutual consent of the two of them, and only then are they mechalik the shutfis. When it comes to a chatzer, the Mishnah says the shear is dalet ames lezeh v'dalet ames lezeh, which is the basic space that you have to use for each one. If the chatzer has less than that shear, then you need them both to agree to be mechalik the chatzer to dissolve the shutfis. So the Mishnah would be saying, if they agreed, lasus machitza, machitza means plukta, to divide the chatzer, to dissolve the shutfis. Once they agree to that, then what kicks in memela is the chiyuv kosel based on hezek ri'iyah. That's one reading of the Mishnah, and that would be l'manda amar hezek ri'iyah shmei hezek, and that is the second lashon mentioned in the Gemara, and that's what the Rishonim say is the halach. The first pshat in the Gemara is different, hezek ri'iyah lo shmei hezek. Therefore, there is no reason that one so obviously if they agreed to have this Koso built, there had to be something that binds them to that agreement. We can discuss exactly what the kinyan was and how it's shayach a kinyan. Meanwhile, once that takes effect, memela, they have to follow through and build a koso k'minig hamedina. That would be if you hold hezek ria lo shmei hezek. According to that, the chatzar could very well have been a chatzar sheyesh ba kedei chalukah. And the point is, you still need the agreement to build the koso, and as per that agreement, they would have to follow through and build the koso. Okay, now there's a Rashi that discusses the case of the chatzer being lifnei habatin and rov tashmishan b'chatzer. Now, that lashon of Rashi is interesting. Rashi seems to focus on the fact that the chatzer is used all the time, rov tashmishan b'chatzer. The problem is that the Mishnah continues and discusses a halachas not just by chatzer. It goes on after discussing the nature of the wall and how thick the wall is and the materials, k'minig hamedina. The Mishnah says further, v'chein begina, there's a din by a gina as well, if it's nagu ligdor, if it's a place at nagu ligdor, what the Gemara explains means that stam gina is k'makam sh'nagu ligdor, then mechayvin also. Unlike a bika, where if it's not, it's stam bika, it's nago shalog, it's ain't mechayvin also. So you see by a gina that a stam gina is mechayiv to build a kosel. Lemanda amar hezek via shmei hezek, it makes perfect sense. Lemanda malosh shmei hezek, the Gemara brings another idea of ayin har. But here you have a case of gina where the Rashi svar doesn't apply, where it's not rov tashmish and begina, rov tashmish is mechatzer. And yet you see stam gina is also lemanda amar hezek via shmei hezek is also mechayiv us, to mechayiv them to build a kosel. So how could Rashi associate the din of chatzer with rov tashmish and bechatzer if the din is true begina as well? The way we were masbir, based on a discussion in the Rush, whether the halacha of makam, if it's makam shenagu shelo wigdar, that by a gina you're not mechayiv to build a kosel, what would be by a chatzer? Some Rishonim say the same halacha would apply. If makam shenagu shelo wigdar, there's no chiyuv by a chatzer. And the Rush argues, and the Rush says, no, because chatzer is very different. Chatzer, even its nagu shelo wigdar, since the hezek riyah stand, the hezek riyah that happens there is naturally greater than by a gina, people going in and out. So therefore, even nagu lo wigdar, there's still going to be a chiyuv based on hezek riyah shmei hezek. We're going according to that manda amar. If Rashi holds like the Rush, we can understand pshat and Rashi. In other words, what's the pshat? Nagu shelo wigdar means that these people are not really makbid and hezek riyah. To the extent that they live their life and are accustomed to the fact that they can be looked at while they're doing what they're doing, so memela, it's not a hezek for them because they don't view the problem. But stam gina, we assume it's something that people should be makbid on. If they're not makbid, if nagu shelo wigdar, so we know they're not makbid, there's no chiv. By chatzer, on the other hand, according to the Rush, because it's a bigger type of problem of hezek riyah, so the fact that you yourself think it's okay, that doesn't matter. It is a problem inherently. So Meila Rashi could be saying what he's saying for that nafgamina, that because there's a problem hezek riyah by a chatzer, even if it's nago shelo wigdar, the Mishnah only talks about nago wigdar by gina, by chatzer the halacha would be all the time that there's a chiyuv. Therefore, Rashi emphasizes the fact that Rov Tashmish and Bechatzer, which is why we don't reckon with the fact that people are seemingly not makbid, it's nagu shelo wigdar. The fact remains that it is a problem of hezek riyah. Rashi will be going amanda hezek riyah shmei hezek, as we said. Memela, Rashi says what he says. Okay, that's what addresses question number three as well, the machokas, the Rashi and Ben Yona. And then we got into a larger discussion of the nature of the halach of hezek riyah shmei hezek in our Mishnah vis-a-vis the inyanim of harchakas nezikin. And do we view hezek riyah through the prism of the sugyas in lo yachpor, the various mishnayis, that tell us that when one person is on his side of the border and he's doing what he's doing to mishtamish on his side, he still has to make accommodations in terms of distancing himself, that it not cause hezek on the other side for the guy next door. And there are different halachas, how much you have to marchik and how you have to accommodate. That's called achakas nezikin. So one could have understood hezek riyah shmei hezek through that idea that since we say hezek riyah shmei hezek, even though I'm on my side and you're on your side, we have to be sensitive to how we might be affecting you on your side, and therefore we have to do something to accommodate, namely we have to build a kosel. And we're medayik from the Rush numerous times, again, from the various questions, you can find it, that the Rush and apparently other Rishonim also viewed this halacha as a halacha of harchakas nezikin. However, the diuk is obvious. The chora, why does it belong here in Dav Beis? Why wouldn't it be in the second parak together with all the other dinim of harchakas nezikin? We have to know what to answer. If it's halacha of harchakas nezikin, why is it mentioned in Dav Beis? The other way to think about this Mishnah, which would explain why it's found in Dav Beis and not in the second parak, is because it's a different halacha. It's not the halacha of harchakas nezikin. We have to know why not. But it's a halacha similar to that of Dav Zayin on the days of Kofenos, Solivnos, Beis Shar, Videlis, Lechatzer. There we're discussing the various things that are tzorech for the people living in the chatzer. It also applies to people in the city and the mutual benefits that everyone has and needs for them to live comfortably. And therefore, that we impose on the various residents of the city, of the chatzer, to contribute toward the cost of whatever it is that everybody benefits from. So one of the things mentioned is a beis shar, v'delis l'chatzer, which we'll see on that beis on the days, is actually to prevent hezek riyah of the rabbin. Because since people from the Rishus HaRabbin could very well steer into the area of the chatzah where the people are involved with their activities. So this becomes a hezekriya problem. The Gemara explains that everyone agrees the hezek de rabim is hezekriya shmei hezek. So when it comes to hezek de rabim, all agree that there's a halacha of hezekriya shmei hezek, and otherwise it would not be considered a tzorech for everybody to contribute. But the halacha of why they have to contribute is not because you have to be marchik nezikin from each other. It's because I am a resident of this chatzer and I have to pay my taxes, so to speak, to see to it that we all get protected from hezek ri'iyah of the rabbin. So we could understand that this Mishnah is also similar because there's a mutual benefit for the two shutfin that they shouldn't look at each other, so they have to contribute together for the cost of the kosa. That's how some achronim of the Zalman and others want to learn pshat. Rabbi Rizovsky as well. The Mishnah is not about hezek ri'iyah of harchakas nezikin. It's about hezek ri'iyah of the locha beis shar. But lemaisa, there are very many indications from Rishonim not that way. For example, now you have to know there's a kasha that Rishonim asked with the Magash and the Sefer Haner that lechora in the second parak we have a Tana Rabbi Yossi. What does Rabbi Yossi hold with regard to Harchokas Nezikin? What's his Lashon? He says, wait a second, you're in your Rishus. You're not doing anything directly in his Rishus. You're doing what you're doing. Memela, something is going to spill over and impact on the other side. Says Rabbi Yossi, it's not my responsibility to be marchik that you should get affected. I'm doing what I'm doing, even though you're my Elon came after your bor. But if you're worried about what's going to happen to your bar because of my roots and my tree, so you move your bar. You do what you need to do to protect yourself. I don't have to do anything to accommodate you. And so it is with whatever else the Mishnayos discuss. I'm allowed to be mishtamish in my rishus. You're worried about what's going to be? You be marchik yourself. So the kasha could be, why is there halacha here that the two shufin have to contribute together for the kosel? Why not argue that whoever feels that they're being affected, the hezek ri'iyah, let him do what he needs to do. Let him build a kosel. Let him figure out what to do. Why you mechayev me to chip in for the kosel? That's a kasha one could ask on our Mishnah. Some Rishonim ask it on our Mishnah. The Azarua quoted the Rabbeinu Baruch Me'eretz Yavan, and we saw the Sefer Aner as well quotes that. The Rin Megash doesn't ask it on our Mishnah. He asks it on the case where it's a one-way hezek ri'iyah that we have later on Davav. One could have thought possibly the Rimei Gash didn't ask the Kasha on our Mishnah, because to the contrary, our Mishnah, where the two of them have to pay together, is not halacha of harchakas nezikin at all. It's halacha of a beis shar. Beis shar, they have to both chip in because it's a tzorech for everybody. Why does he ask the Kasha on Davav? Because Davav is a one-way street. So hezek b'yishmei hezek, that's harchakas nezikin, that one person is mazik the other. And the other Rishonim who asked the Kasha on our Mishnah must have understood the Mishnah in terms of Harchokas Nezikin, and that's why they're asking the Kasha from Rabbi Yossi. Now, if the halacha is based Shar, l'chor, the Kasha doesn't start. Rabbi Yossi's Shita is only relevant when we're speaking about the context of Perikul Yachpar. Harchokas Nezikin is halacha, not that the Mazik has to be Marchik, the Nizik should be Marchik. However, this halacha based Shar, Rabbi Yossi doesn't argue on halacha based Shar. If everyone benefits from having a kosel, then everyone has to chip in for that which they're going to have the benefit of the kosel. So l'chora, if we're going to use Rabbi Yossi as a kasha on a Mishnah and give it teretz, and the teretz that's given by those Rishonim is that Rabbi Yossi is moda in certain situations, such as what's called giri delay. We'll see about this by Mechitza Sakarim, it's going to come up. Giri delay means that the arrow is being shot from one person's rishus to the other. It's instant. It's happening right away. It's not start, stop, start, stop. It's a direct, instant impact. There, Rabbi Yossi requires the mazik to be marchik. So hezek ri'iyah is equivalent to that. Meanwhile, you see that we're discussing an inyan of harchakas nezikin if we're discussing Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, the maisa, the kasha that we asked, if it's really harchakas nezikin, what's it doing over here in Dav Beis? Why doesn't it belong in the second parak? We gave a very simple svara. The very big difference between the context of Perek Beis, Harchakas Nezikin, and what we have over here. Perek Beis, we're talking about somebody's being mishtamish. He's doing something. He has a tanur, he has an ilan, he has whatever it is. Even if you're talking about having a window that we say you have to, you're using the window. You're looking through the window. It's ishtamshus. So there we could talk about how much you have to accommodate by raising the window, lowering the window, distancing your tanur, distancing your ilan, because it's a shtamshus. I'm using what I'm using, except that it's going to impact on the other side. So then I have to accommodate. And Rabbi Yossi says, I don't have to accommodate. You have to take care of yourself. Our situation is very different. We're not talking about I'm being mishtamish. We're talking about my existence. I live here. It's my chatzah. Just my existence poses a problem called hezek ri'iyah. But I'm not mechuyav to leave my house. So in that regard, what are we saying here? Maybe it's not the same type of archak as nezikin. It is archak as nezikin, but in a different way. Because you're not, you can't tell me that I have to leave. I'm here. Elamai, it translates into a chiv kosa. So in that regard, it's distinct from the Indian of archak as nezikin or perek sheni, even though it's of the same type. It's the archak as nezikin idea that drives the halach of Chiyuv Kosel, but it's not identical to those cases in the second parak, in that we're not talking about hishtamshus, we're talking about just the existence itself. Okay, that's some of the svaras that we began to say. We're going to see more about this, Mirat Hashem, in the Gemara. There's other ways that one can also think about this halacha, and we'll get to this also in Beis HaMebeis. I'm just going to give it to you now, just a svar to think about. Could be that the inyan of the Kosel here, it's a function of the chalukas hashutfis. In other words, really, one can ask a simple question. Why are we putting this halacha in the context of shutfin shavatsu lasas machitza? Talk about shcheinim. Two shcheinim, side by side. There's halacha, hezek ria, they have to build a kosel. What do you have to give us the history? They were shutfin. They dissolved their shutfis, ratsulasus plukta, and now they've been going to, who needs the whole background of shutfin? Now, there could be other answers to this kasha. Tosus even discusses why we mention a shutfin over here in connection to the end of Bar Mitzia, that there are discussions of cases of shutfin. So, but why talk about shutfin? Why begin our halacha of Hezekiah with the story of shutfin shiratsulasus plukta? Could be that part of the halacha of this Mishnah is that for the chalukah to be a perfect chalukah, a chalukah that we can say each one got a shear that's justified, a shear that's considered to be fair. You call it a fair shear, right? That the chalukah should be appropriate. It has to be that I have what I have without you having the possibility of looking at what I'm doing. And vice versa. So it could be that, of course, it's dependent on Hezek Riyash Shmei Hezek, which is why we define the shear as being fear only because I have a wall that prevents you from looking. So it depends on Hezek Riyash Shmei Hezek, but it's not Hachakas Nezikin per se, it's a halacha in Chalukas Hashutfis, that the Chaluka of a Chatzer requires that what everyone gets as a result is a private area that allows private ishtamshes without anyone peeping in and looking at what I'm doing. So because it's Grishmei Hezek, that's why the Chalukah leads to such a halacha. And if we understand it that way, then we understand perfectly why the Mishnah is here in Daf Beis and not in the second parak, because the halacha of Grishmei Hezek is just a way of getting to explain why we are requiring the shutfis to be divided in the way that it is, that there's a kosel between the two shears that each one ends up getting as a result. We're going to talk about this more and more, but I just wanted to mention it as an interesting possibility. Okay, let's go a little bit further in terms of these questions. The Tosus that discusses the connection to the need to explain why it's following Baba Mitzia. The Tosus wants us to realize that if we would say that it's all one mesechta, we understand that we have to find connections between why this follows previous Mishnah Bar Mitzia, because it's all one mesechta. But if we would assume that separate mesechtas, then maybe you don't have to give a reason. Tosus, no, we have to prove and explain why it follows the earlier mesechta. How do we know that we still have to give a reason by two mesechtas? Because the Gemara asks in Shavuos why it's mentioned after Makkos. So what's the pshat in Tosus Raya? If Kuhn is Sigan Chad Mesechtahi, maybe the Gemara is going Amanda Amar Kuhn is Sigan Mesechtahi, so Makkos and Shavuos are one Mesechta. So that's why the Gemara asked the question, how come it's connecting to Makkos? How does Tosus have a right to bring a Raya that Bava Basra as two Mesechtas need to have a reason to connect them? The Gemara there is discussing maybe Amanda Amar Kuhn is Sigan Chad Mesechtahi. So therefore, it's one mesechta, Makkos and Shavuos. So the Mashal assumes that true, but why say the Gemara is going according to that man to Amar? Maybe the Gemara is going according to other man to Amar as well. So if the Gemara could just as well be going the stomach for both man to Amrin, so do you see from the Gemara that even two Masechtis, which could be in fact two Masechtis, Makas and Shavuos, the Gemara also needs to give a reason. The Gemara is not Mashma, it's only going according to one man to Amar. That's the Masha. There's another answer, which is maybe a little simpler, and that is that the whole pshat of never meant all of Seder Zikin. It only meant the Babis, which is what Rashi learns in Avodah Zarah and other and Bava Kama. All the Babis are one Masechta. The Makas and Shavuos for sure are two Masechtas. So Tosis has a perfect Raya from the Gemara, because Shavuos and Makas are two Masechtas for everybody. And the Gemara still wants to know why they connect to each other. So too, Bava Metzia and Bava Basra, even if the two Masechtas, has to be explained why they connect. And Tosis therefore gives the Teretz that he does, various ways to explain why this follows on the heels of the end of Bava Metzia. Let's talk about the materials for the Kosel and the Shiurim of the Kosel. So the Mishnah talks about Gvil, Gazis, right, and Kris and Levenim, and it talks about how much each one gives for each particular material, and it's Kaminig HaMedina. So Tosis has a few points that he mentions, right? Why does it have to tell you how much each one gives? Just tell me the total amount. Right? And the answer is because otherwise you might misinterpret it to mean each person gives that full amount. Okay, so he wants you to realize that it's each person giving half. And the total amount is the two added together. Tosfos has another issue. Why mention b'chal the midah of Gvil Gazis? Hakog Minig HaMedina, Tosfos is assuming the Minig HaMedina would be koveya the width as well, not just of the material. That's Tosfos' assumption. So Tosfos gives the teretz that you don't have to give more than this. If the Mishnah wants you to know that this is the maximum, even if the Minig HaMedina would have been more. Why don't you have to give more? The Minig HaMedina has to give more. So Tosfos doesn't sound like he means, other Rishonim seem to say, because it's a Minig Shtus, Muki Yosef, I think. Tosfos says, because what's the Pshat? Why do you have to follow the Minig? Let's go back for a second. Why do you follow the Minig? So this depends on each Pshat of the Mishnah. If the Pshat of Mishnah is they have to follow on their commitment, right? Hezek be lo shmei hezek, but they have to follow on their commitment. So the commitment is Kaminig HaMedina. So that's why you do Kaminig HaMedina. If you hold hezek be shmei hezek, so why is Kaminig HaMedina what's koveya after all? Hezek be shmei hezek. So whatever it takes care of hezek be should be enough. So we have to assume that obviously every wall is sturdy, but relative to something else, it might be less sturdy or more sturdy. So what is considered to be a solid wall? What gives us where do we look to figure out what's considered a wall that's viewed as firm enough to take care of Hezek Re'iyah? Because walls can collapse eventually. So what's considered to be a wall that's viewed as proper for Hezek Re'iyah? So we look to Minig HaMedina. But it could be, Tosfos is pointing out, if you have already six for Gvil, right? So now, the fact that there's a Minig HaMedina to do seven, it's not the pshat that six fails the test of being a sturdy wall. It's that the Minig HaMedina here is to go to get a super wall, super duper wall. But that you're not mechayev to do. Minig HaMedina can only go so far in guiding you to say this is considered a proper wall for Hezek Re'iyah. But if they happen to go over and above, it's not a Minig Shtus. They want to have a super wall. But Hezek Re'iyah doesn't demand that you have a super wall. Hezek Re'iyah demands that you have a wall which is proper. So the Mishnah wants you to know when you get to six at Gevil and so on with the other cases, you've got a proper wall. That's what I think Tosfos will mean as far as why I don't have to go beyond. Tosfos continues and says, what if the minig would be to do less, to have less than the shiur mentioned in the Mishnah? So would you say you still have to follow the shiur of the Mishnah, or can you get away with less? So Tosfos says, you can get away with less, but haraya, Tosfos brings a raya from Hutzah v'dafna that the Gemara says, Minig HaMedina would allow you to get away with shrubbery, Hutzah v'dafna, and certainly, therefore, the same thing if the gvil would be less than the amount of the gvil of the Mishnah. Why did Tosfos mention Hutzah v'dafna as his raya? Tosfos could have mentioned Levenim. The Mishnah itself says Minig HaMedina, you can use Levenim if that's what the Minig is. So if the Minig is Gevil less than the six and whatever, so why couldn't that be the raya? Why did Tosfos go to Hutzah v'dafna? So we were Mazdi, right? Is that a question on the sheet? I hope so, right? No? Anyway, so what's the answer? What are Tosfos use of a Daphne as the Raya? We brought a Benu Yonah, right? L'chora, what's the word of Hutzav Daphne? What about less than Hutzav Daphne? If there's a stam makom, doesn't have any minog. So what does Rabbeinu Yonah say? What would they have to build? Who remembers? Stam, chatzer, no minog. So what would be the choice of the material? Rabbeinu Yonah said, what would be the material? No chevra, who remembers?
Levenim.
That's the lowest of the Mishnah, the thinnest one of the Mishnah. Why doesn't it say Hutzav Daphne? Because the answer is Hutzav Daphne can only become a wall if the minig is kovei as such. But if there's no minig at all, then you have to go within the choices of the Mishnah. So what do you see, Rabbeinu Yonah? If the minig is Hutzav Daphne, that can make something which otherwise wouldn't qualify as a wall, appropriate wall, into a wall. So Tosfos therefore needed to tell us a chiddush. Within Gvil, the shiurim are dictated by the Gemara, by the Mishnah, to be six trachim. So you want to get away with less. Who says that counts for Gvil? Gvil, for its material, you need six for it to be able to be kayim, you know, kachok of the Gvil. For the Gvil wall, you really need six for it to be appropriate to use, to maximize its potential as a wall. So how do you know that you can get away with less if the Minig HaMedina is less? So for Tosfos to quote Levenim wouldn't be good, because Levenim, for its material, that's what it is. So therefore, Levenim stays sturdy for what a Levenim wall is within the amount of three. Whereas Gvil less than six doesn't have what it takes to be a wall of Gvil. So Tosfos went to Hutzav Daphne. Hutzav Daphne really is only a wall because the Minig HaMedina legitimizes it as a wall. So Memele Tosfos, so too, if you have Gvil, which is five, Minig HaMedina can allow that to count as a wall. This is how we explain Tosfos. Does everyone agree with Tosfos that you can have less, right? You can have less if it's Minig HaMedina is less, and Tosfos says if it's more, you don't need to do more. Does everyone agree with Tosfos? What does the Rush hold? What is the Rush hold? That the shoe. Go ahead, speak up, go ahead.
That is like, and it's an exact measurement. You can't have more or less.
The Mishnayos are, the Shiurim are fixed. The Mishnah's Minig HaMedina is specifically referring to the material, but as far as the Shiurim, that is a given. Yeah. And the Rush talks about the fact that he talks about the Minig Shtus that Tosfos is going to mention, right? Tosfos mentions Rabbeinu Tam further. Less than Hutzav Daphne is a Minig Hedyot. Only Hutzav Daphne as far as that, but not less. But the Rush uses that also. If you want to use less for Gvil, you can't have that because it's a Minig Hedyot. Gvil has to be what the Mishnah says it is against what Tosfos holds. Now we had a very important machlokes. I know we're trying to do a lot in a little bit of time. I don't know if we'll get to the Lefichach. That would be for everyone else over Shabbos. But the very important inyan that we discussed that comes in the Rush. Machlokes Rishonim, what if one of the two wants to build a wall on his property and get away with something less, with Hutzav Daphne, instead of contributing the cost of half of a Gvil wall, which might be the Minig HaMedina, he says, forget about it. I'd rather pay far less money and give up my own space and build Hutzav Daphne and solve Hezek Ri'ah that way. Is that right? Is that appropriate or not? So there are those Rishonim that the Rush quotes who say he can't do it. Why can't he do it? Because Hutzav Daphne naturally is going to collapse at some point, much less, much earlier than would be a Gvil wall. And what's going to be then, right? Then there's going to be a problem of Hezek Ri'ah. And therefore, what is required is that you have to take care of the problem of Hezek Ri'ah, not just for the moment, but for the long term as well. And therefore, you can't take this shortcut of saying, I'll get around this halacha of being mechuyev to pay half of a Gvil wall by doing my own thing. No, because that's not going to take care of the problem, because it's not solving the problem down the road. It's only solving the problem in the interim. And how does the Rush disagree? The Rush brings raya. He brings Machitza Sakarim as a raya, brings the later Gemara as a raya, that you don't find that they're requiring to build a certain particular wall of a certain material. But the Rush says, what's the svara behind it? He says, what will be later on is later on. So what will be later on? Famous words of the Rush, immortal words. Yesh Shoftim Baretz. Yeah, listen, we're not an anarchist society. We have people that will enforce the law, and they'll deal with it then. So, L'chaira, in this rush, there's a number of things that we discussed in this rush. L'chaira, what's the machlokas? And what do we see from the language of the rush and the whole substance of the rush? What do we see about the nature of this halacha of hezek ri'iyah? What do we see? How did the rush understand the issue? The rush is focusing on what aspect of this halacha? The rush is bringing rice, right? From the fact that mechitzas hakerem, there's a halacha, your mazik, through your kerem, your vines are causing kelayim. That's a halacha of hezek. And you see it's enough, you have whatever wall, and then you have to, it falls down, you put a new one up. And the Rush's language, it's all about, I'm taking care of the problem of being mazik you. Right now, that's all I have to do. I don't have to take care of the problem, be mazik you tomorrow. So the whole essence of the Rush is looking at this halacha as hachakas nizikin. If it's halacha based shar, so l'chor, it's a different conversation. So we have halacha based shar. Do we have to worry about the future? Not the future, the short term, the long term. The Rush is speaking about taking care of hezek. Right now is sufficient. We'll be later, I'll take care of the hezek later on as well. The Rush is viewing this whole idea as I have to be proactive right now, not to be mazik you, but not to the extent that I have to take care of tomorrow. So the Rush holds, unlike these Rishonim, he holds that it's okay for one of the two to say, I'll build my own wall, on my own property, and therefore I'm not chipping in for the wall that the Minigam Medina would require for walls, because I'm doing my own thing right now for myself. We pointed out something else. What if he wanted to use less in Hutzav Dafna? Could he do that? And meanwhile, he's taking care of Hezek Ri'iyah. Apparently not. Why? Because if you hold it's less than Hutzav Dafna, then it's omid lipo. It's not just that it's taking care of it now, but not for tomorrow. It's not even taking care of it now, because if I have a situation of a wall that could fall at any minute, that's not cool. I took care of the present. The present means that we see a wall that at least for the time being, it's standing. If the wall could fall at any minute, then by definition, the present is also not fixed. It's only Hutzav Dafna that has some standing of a wall that you could say, okay, it's not going to be long-term, so then we'll get to the later point, and then we'll deal with the problem then. But less than Hutzav Dafna, I didn't even fix the problem for the time being either. That's, I think, what we wanted to say for the Rush. What about the other Rishonim? So the Chora, we saw the Lashon and the Rishonim. We have a few ways to learn it, but maybe one way, simple. What were they concerned about? What about the Yesh Shoftim Ba'aretz? Maisa, the Rush says, Yesh Shoftim Ba'aretz. So why do you have to solve the problem for later? So what are they worried about? Are they worried about that you're not going to have Shoftim? You have Shoftim. But what are they worried about? Till you get to Beis Din. You still had to go to Beis Din. So the problem is, in that interim period, the Rush didn't focus on that point. The Rush didn't mention that, the Beini Beini, the time in between. So the Rush says, what? We'll fall down. I don't have to solve the problem with Olam Voed. But Maisa, it's going to fall. There's going to be an issue till you get to Beis Din. That's what they were concerned about. There is a shita of the Ra'ah, which is a bigger chiddush than anything we've seen so far. The Ra'ah brings, the Mukyosef quotes from the Ra'ah, that even if this individual says, I'll build on my rishus a wall of the same material, gvil gazis, solid material, with the dimensions of the Mishnah, but I want to do it on my rishus instead of doing it half and half. So the Ra'ah holds he can't do that either. What kind of a reason? Why not? He's taking care of the problem and he's putting it all in his own rishus, his own money, his own space. What's the problem? Why can the other one be ma'akev? He can say, no, I want it to be on both our spaces. I want us to chip in together. Why? Because he has a claim. The other guy says, I want to be able to use this wall for my use as well, to lean on it, to use it to mishtamish with. What kind of halacha is that? There's nothing to do with hezek ri'iyah. It's totally unrelated to the issue at hand. So why would that be a basis to be ma'akev on the first guy? What we begin to see in the Ra'ah is an interesting chidush, that even though the basic halacha of the Kosa is Hezek Ri'iyah prompted, but there's a takana to build a Kosa based on Hezek Ri'iyah. But the takana now has its own framework. That takana is a wall for the two of them. a wall that now they can both use. Not only is it a wall for Ezekriya, it's a wall for the two of them to use. And the halacha itself gives the each one the right to demand that the wall be available for their use, to be somechan, to be mishtamish with, and that could prevent one person from taking it to his own hands and saying, I'm doing it all on my own mishus. No, there's a halacha now that the wall is for the two of them. Because of Ezekriya, now the takana becomes its own separate takana that allows each one to say, I'm entitled to half the wall, and I want to have it on my rishus as well. That's, I think, you see in the ra'ah. Okay. Okay, the major issue in Tosis, of course, of Pikach, that we're not going to be able to go all through right now, but the major issue, of course, is the nyanim of chazaka, of hamot mechbel of araya, and mamna muta b'safek chokin. The Mishnah is koveya, three times of Pikach in the Mishnah, right? First, Lufichach is the case of Chatzah where they build together and the wall should collapse. And we now know that everything is shared because they built it together. We have a second Lufichach in a Bika where one person built it by himself with a Chazis, and the Chazis is indicative of his building it himself. In that case, if it falls, we know it's his. Then we have the last Lufichach, which is again in a Bika where they built it together and there's a Chazis for both of them. And again, in that case, we know it was built by both of them because there's a chazis for both, and therefore we know it belongs to both of them. So it's Tosis discussing the first lefichach of the Mishnah, and the basis of Tosis, the engine of Tosis in building the whole question is the Mishnah is assuming that it's because of this, called an ansadi, called an umdina, the fact that we know that they built the wall together, either pshat, plug it into the Mishnah, because of Hiknu Zelazeh, because of Hezekriah. So we know the wall was built jointly. Therefore, we know that they share in the Avanim and in the Malkum. And the question is, what if it's true? And that's why we know Bevadai that belongs to both of them. But let's say that wasn't true. Let's say we didn't have the Umdina. We do have the Umdina. But let's say absent that Umdina, would the halacha not be the same? We have a situation where the Vanim, we don't know whose it is. We don't know who built the wall. We don't know whose Malkum it was built on. Tosis assumes that by definition, the Psak would be Mamana Mutta B'Safik Chokin, because we don't know. And of course, it would be Medin Safik. The Mishnah is saying it's Medin Vadai, but we don't need to come on to the Vados that we know for sure. Just the Safik itself, not knowing, would have the Psak of Yachloku. That's the thrust of Tosis' question. In order to explain the question, Tosis has to go through a few hoops. He has to assume that, of course, the Chachamim would agree to Sumchis, that he's the one that's the famous Tana that holds Manu Mudu Safik Chokin, but he holds that way even if you have a Marakama and even if you have a Muchsik. The Chachamim would agree if there's no muchzik. But then Tos has to go a step further. But could we not construct a case over here that one of them can become a muchzik, such as where it falls into the space of one of them, and he now is the one that's toughest in the stones. And if he's toughest in the stones, he's a muchzik. In which case, the din would have been that he should be zocha because he's a muchzik. And that's why you need the lefigach, the idea that we know they built it together in order to know that they're both jointly owning the Avanim and the Makom, because otherwise he would have been Zocha with his time that I built the wall myself since he's a Tafos. The Tosis comes up with this idea that this Ukimta of having it one person's Rishus, which is what Rashi seems to say, would be sufficient to explain the Mishnah. Says Tosis, it wouldn't be insufficient. Why? Because it was already a Suffolk beforehand. If they have a debate when the wall was up, who built the wall, the Psak would have been Yachloku. And therefore, becoming a tafa subsequent to that point where there's already a safik chal, where there should be a psak of yachloku already inherent in that safik, would not a muchzik make, would not make him into a muchzik. And that's a unique sheet of Tosis. And how to be masmerit is, of course, a big discussion. One way to think about it, and that's the initial pshat of Kundus HaSfekis, is called tfisa la'achar shenolad hasafik, which can be relevant in a lot of situations where you have a suffix, such as Tukfah Kohen, whether Motsiyan or Emotsiyan Miyado, where it would have been a Motsiyan of Araya, because the Bailam has it, but now the Kohen grabbed the Bechor. And it could be relevant over here in terms of a Yachloku suffix, and he became a Tafas after the Noah HaSafik. The problem is that Tosus indicates in at least two places that if you have a Tanis Bari, you could have a Tfisa Lachash Noah HaSafik. So the Kunas Fakus changes gears and says it's not about Tfisa Lachash Noah HaSafik per se, it's specific to Tfisa La'akash and Noah HaSafik of a Psak of Yachlok. If the Psak would have been a Motzvech Merov Araya, and now you grab it and you become the Muchzik, and you have a Titus Bari, for example. So the same way the Psak initially was a Motzvech Merov Araya, the Psak remains the same thing. It's just that who's the Muchzik now? I'm the Muchzik. You're the Motzi Mechaveru. That didn't alter the Psak from being one type of Psak to another. It's the same Psak. It's just applied in a different way. But if I'm altering a yachloku to make it a Motzvech Araya, that's what Tosus would hold. You can't have such a muchzik once there was a psak of yachloku. The words of Tosus, we said, maybe has a little bit of a different mashmos, but along the same lines. Not so much that you can't alter the psak of yachloku, you can't take away the stake that each one had already to have a yachloku from the original suffix through becoming a muchzik. So since that person had already a stake in the yachloku, you can't alter that by now to deprive him of that which he would have had in the Yachloku. If he was a Muchzik Gamur, you can't say, well, he could have had at least a stake in the Yachloku. That's hypothetical. Right now, he's only entitled because he's a Muchzik. Mashenken, if it was Yachloku, which would entitle him to have a share of Yachloku, that can't be changed, becoming a Tafas afterwards. Okay, Tosis also brings in Drada Mamona in terms of why the Psak wouldn't have been called the Olam Gava. Tosis mentions Drada Mamona, Lishitaso, that means that there's a Safik below Tanaseyan. The Ksos didn't understand why this is in fact the case, but Tosis assumes that you look at a wall, you don't know right away, it's the border of two people, you don't know who built the wall. That's called Drada de Mamona. No one has to say a word, and you have a Safik. This is, again, very, very quickly the thrust of Tosis Kasha, and of course, Tosis Teretz brings in a whole other dimension. First of all, the Pshat in the Gemara's Kasha, Tosus says, what the Gemara was asking. Pshita could have been a way of saying, we know that the halacha is what it is because of the lefikach. So why have to spell it out? Tosus says, no, the Pshat is more than that. The Pshat is like Rashi says. You don't need the umdana. It would be that way anyway because of the suffix. What's the teretz of the Gemara? So now Tosus and Rashi, right, depart part ways over here. Rashi seems to learn, like Rashi says in the Mishnah, that alone, one became a Tafas. Rashi doesn't agree with the whole lumbus that Tosus says. Why, we have to know. Tosus had a riot from the Gemara by Chazis. We have to know how Rashi answers it. Rashi said something in the Gemara that answered it. Again, everyone will chazer this. But meanwhile, Tosus has to put into the Gemara a whole other inyan of Shou Bishuso Harbe, and therefore the Nigu, that you could have said Lokuach, because now that it's Shobish Sahabe, you could taina that I bought it from you. And if you could say I bought it, you could also say I built it. And that would be the basis to make you a Muchzik. That's what the Gemara seems to say over there. It's not stam that the Migul wins for you, but the Migul gives you the Koach of the other taina. The other taina would make you win mitzad Muchzik. That was the way we approach on Kivegas Kash. Again, everyone could chazze this over. Shear assistance, be on call, right? If you haven't already been, or grab your chavusa and discuss it, okay? We couldn't do everything, but we did a lot, right? And then we had a few bit at the end with the rush that we discussed with Kraksusi. Again, more about the inyan of the nature of the chiyuv of Hezek Re'iya that we discussed. Okay, any comments, questions? I'm guessing that you had a chance, everybody, a little bit to chazer, so you have a little more time until we continue Mitzvah Shem next week. Let's do a little bit on the parsha, and